Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out, church. And if you would, go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 13. Old Testament, Zeke 13. Christy, do me a favor. Put the picture of Gabby back up, the first word when she first came. Had no idea that they were going to show that this morning, but I'm preaching off of it. It all fits into the message. I'm so glad you're here this morning. Glad y'all didn't stay home and you came to church. And I'm starting a new series this morning. I touched on it Wednesday night, and I've just prayed about it all week, and just God, just feel God stirring in my heart about it. It's called Listening to Lies. What's really funny about this message is this morning I was working on it some more, going through it, and I kind of got off on another tangent, and you know, I started chasing rabbits down trails, and then all of a sudden it hit me. I said, you know what? I bet I've already preached this message. I think it's brand new, but I actually remembered I had a different title for it. Preached it about 10 years ago. Couldn't find my notes on it, but so you know, there's really nothing new under the sun. You know, with me? But the Spirit of God is coming back around in life, and He's trying to speak to us. He's trying to talk to us. You know, the Bible says that Jesus Himself said that in the last days that there'd be perilous times on the face of the earth. And one of the things that would make perilous times is there would be deceiving spirits trying to deceive people and get them off of truth. Right? Y'all with me? I'm just dumbfounded today at some of the things that we see taking place. I sometimes read, you know, like reading through the headlines of a news article, and you know, of all the just reading just headlines, and I'm like, what in the world is going on? I mean, do you realize that more Christians today are being killed than really ever before? Christians right now are under just the worst attack that we've seen in, you know, since Nero, really. I mean, you know, just Christians, to be a Christian, not in America, in the world, your life is threatened. And that just, it strikes me funny. It's hard for me to understand that. It's hard for me to comprehend it. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I've never lived under persecution as being a Christian. Only persecution I ever received as being a Christian is if somebody said to me, ah, Robert, you're a square, you know, something, let's go out and raise hell tonight, and you just want to stay home and go to church. I mean, that kind of persecution, not somebody threatening me. It would strike me, it would hit me so funny if somebody said to put a, we just blew out, huh? In the name of Jesus. It would just strike me funny if somebody came to me and said, you need to convert to being a Muslim right now or we'll kill you. I would just have to laugh saying, what? What are you talking about? I mean, it would just, y'all with me? Would that not be odd to you? Right? And I'm glad I live in Texas. But Maggie just told me just a little while ago that right now that they're have a bill before our legislature that they're trying to get votes on that would make Sharia law above the laws of the state of Texas. You say, well, they can't do that. But they are. They're trying it. Somebody's actually got somebody to write a bill and to do it, to present it, and people are actually listening to it. I mean, I'm just like, somebody just didn't say, what? Get that off my desk. What are you talking about? That's crazy. You can't do that. But we're sitting here this morning, worshiping here in church, but yet that bill's before there. How far are we from the end times? That's all I'm saying this morning. How far are we from the end times when we say, oh, that can't happen? Well, who would ever thought it'd even come up for a vote? Who would even thought that someone would even be talking about it and it could gain any foothold in the world? And then especially Texas. I mean, we could all say if it was going on in New York, we'd all say, oh, yeah, well, it'd be crazy. This is Texas. You know, we're all worried about them trying to pass an open carry law. Right? All those bunch of rednecks are looking at that, saying, "Yo, come on." And then this is going on also. I mean, I'm shocked. So it fits into my message. When she was telling me that this morning, this fits in my message because people are listening to lies. Listen to me, people are listening to lies. Jesus said this was going to happen. So it's not that we should be shocked by it and be sitting here like I kind of am this morning with my jaw on the ground trying to get it picked back up. It's that we should be saying, oh, look, we understand the signs of the times. We see what's going on. And become very aware of what's happening. And become very aware that there is lies being sown in people every day. I wrote this statement down and I said, every day we are presented with gifts. Gifts of the truth of God's word are lies from the enemy. They're still presented to you as gifts. They come before our ears, and what we allow in takes root in our heart. And then we begin to act upon them. Every day, God's truth's coming to you, and lies are coming to you. And then I stopped after I wrote that statement. I thought, there's more lies being thrown at you in a day than there are truths. The only way you can have more truths thrown at you is how long you spend in the Word, how much Word you're listening to, how much preaching you're listening to, songs you're hearing, worshiping yourself, talking to people about Jesus. There's more lies being sown to you every day over the radio, over everything going on, than it's really truth being sown at you. Are y'all with me? Now, I want to go to the Ezekiel 13. We'll just start reading in verse 1. I'm going to read through this. I'm not going to get in a hurry today because I feel like I'm like really wired and inspired this morning, and I really just want to just blah. And I'm trying to just rein myself in because I want to take some time with this because I'm believing right now, my prayer for each and every one of y'all sitting here this morning is that as you're hearing this message today, that wherever there is a lie that has taken root in your life, and we're going to explain more about lies later on down the road, but I'm just believing God that whatever lie has been sown in your life, that as we go through this series, the Holy Spirit is going to make it very real and aware to you so that it can be destroyed by the truth and you can live in victory. Folks, listen to me. There's no reason to be depressed in life. There's no reason to be in fear in your life. There's no reason to walk in life outside of the blessings of God. Each and every one of us has the ability and the potential to walk in the things of God and the Spirit of God. Have y'all seen that crazy commercial? I don't know, it's an insurance commercial where Pinocchio is the motivational speaker. Huh? And he looks at the person and says, "And you have potential," and his nose grows, "and you have potential," and his nose grows, and everybody goes, "Oh, you know." Right? And I got to laughing about that this morning because I was like saying, you know, "And you have potential." And everybody's like, "Yeah, you know, going to relate back to the commercial." But the truth of the matter is, God's word and his truth and his promises are real to each and every one of us. And if we want to apply them and walk in them and believe it, you can either wake up in the morning and believe the lie that your day is going to go terrible, or you can believe that you're blessed that day, that you are a magnet for blessings. And as you walk, God is blessing you. It's your choice. It really is. It doesn't make any difference what's going on in the world around us. Listen to me. The world can go to a pot. They can instill Sharia law. I'm still going to serve Jesus with all my heart. I'm still going to read my Bible. I'm still going to pray. I'm not converting. I believe. Right? I'm a believer. I'm not. They're going to get rid of me. They have to shoot me. And then what are they going to do? Send me to heaven? Come on, baby. Right? Oh, that's a real threat. We'll kill you. Please. Right? There's victory. I'm only going to walk in victory. You're only going to walk in victory if you so choose. But if we listen to lies and let the lies get sown in our heart, then what happens to you is you begin to believe the lie more than you believe the truth, and you're not going to walk in the promises of God.
I can pray for you, pour 5 gallon bucket of anointing all over you, lay hands on you till I rub all the hair off your head, and you are not going to walk in the blessings of God if you don't believe in the blessings of God. If I say God loves you and you go to the mirror every morning and say, man, I'm just such a sinner, God can't love me. Well, then you just negated everything that I just prayed. Are y'all with me? It's those lies in your life. And listen to me. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm not talking about, you know, pride. I'm talking about just believing in who you are as a Christian. Listen to me, man. You're born again. If you've confessed Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, if you are looking to Him that He is your Savior, that He is the one whose blood can save you and redeem you, then, folks, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. And greater is He that's in you than he that's in this world. But if you let what's in this world get in you, you're not going to believe in the greater one on the inside of you. And discouragement and despair is going to be in your life. And you're going to wake up in the morning and you're going to be motivated by how you feel and what your emotions say. And we can't do that. We can't live like that. We have to wake up in the morning and say, man, devil, you better be worried today. I am up. I got breath in my lungs today, and the greatest joy of my life is just beating on you. I'm a magnet for blessings. I'm a magnet for the healing of God. I'm a magnet for all the good things of God. I'm the head and I'm not the tail. I'm above and not the beneath. When you start to speak and confess and talk like that, it does something to your whole life, your whole situation. You wake up in the morning and say, oh God, another day. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it today. Things look terrible. I'm so mad. Oh, so-and-so over there. Blah, 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 blah. And you just go out just hurling stuff out of your mouth and you're just listening to it and you're just feeding yourself. Yeah, you're going to have a rotten day. The blessing of God comes about by what you're walking in and what you're confessing, what you're believing. But if you listen to lies, they'll come into your life and they will put you in a place of depression. Now, here's the problem. So many times we get sown lies in our life and we've believed them for so long, it's really difficult for us to believe the truth. But the power of God can break that in your life if you'll let Him. And through this series, God's going to do that. He's going to show you what's going on and He's going to break it in your life. Amen? Okay, so here we are in Ezekiel chapter 13. It says, and the word of the Lord, I'm reading verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy and say to those who prophesy out of their own. Sweetie, bring me my water. That's what's wrong with me. I need some water. I'm already thinking four scriptures down here, four verses down, so let me slow down here. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy and say to those who prophesy out of their own heart, hear the word of the Lord. Now, he's speaking to the leaders of Israel, the religious leaders, right? And he says, thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. See, what the problem is in life is that we humans, we want to be like God, or we want to be gods. And we want things to work like we want things to work. And so what happens is we begin to do things out of our own spirit versus out of the Spirit of God. O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the desert. You have not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel, to stand in battle on the day of the Lord. They have envisioned futility and false divination, saying, thus says the Lord, but the Lord has not sent them. Yet they hope that the word may be confirmed. Have you not seen a fruitful vision? And have you not spoken false divination? You say the Lord says, but I've not spoken. The closer we get in the days ahead
the more you're going to hear of this. The more evident it's going to become to you if you know the truth. If you don't know the truth, then you take the prophet, because the prophet is who he's, you know, is a prophet, he's got some notoriety, then what'll happen, you'll listen to him because you think that he should know what he's talking about. There's a whole lot of people who want to take the easy route and just have somebody spoon feed them what the word says. But the problem is, the person doing the feeding, it could be giving them their own word. Everything I hear, everything that comes to me, whether I think I've heard God speak to me or somebody speaks to me or I listen to a preacher preach, I measure it against the word. If you don't measure it against the word, or if you can kind of see where the word says it, and if you kind of twist the word just a little bit one way or another, or kind of, you know, pull it around and you know, you can kind of see what they're talking about, I stay away from that. I like a good old-fashioned gospel. I like a real simple gospel. Jesus is Lord. Nobody else is. Huh? I like a good old simple gospel that repent and confess your sins and he's faithful and just to forgive you. Y'all with me? I don't need a quick fix. I don't need to have some injection of the Spirit of God that knocks me to the floor. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But I'm not looking for a sign and a wonder. I'm looking for the truth in His Word. Because the Bible says the truth will set you free. All right? Now, I'm not against signs and wonders. I like signs and wonders. I like God doing wild and crazy things. I think it's cool. I really do. I'm kind of crazy like that. I think it's kind of fun. But I'm measuring everything with the Word of God. Okay? It says, verse 8, therefore, thus says the Lord, because you have spoken nonsense and envisioned lies, therefore I am indeed against you, says the Lord God. My hand will be against the prophets who envision futility and who divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor written in the record of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord God. Because indeed, because you have seduced my people, saying, peace, when there is no peace. And one builds a wall, and they plaster it with untempered mortar. Say to those who plaster it with untempered mortar that it will fall. There will be a flooding rain, and you, O great hailstones, shall fall, and the stormy wind shall tear it down. Surely when the wall has fallen, will it not be said to you, where is the mortar with which you plastered it? Therefore, thus says the Lord, I will cause a stormy wind to break forth in my fury, and there shall be a flooding rain in my anger, and great hailstones in fury to consume it. So I'll break down the wall you have plastered with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground so that its foundation will be uncovered. It will fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst of it. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Now, if you've ever tried to mix concrete, you know, if you're mixing, if you have a pile of sand, a pile of gravel, and some sacks of concrete there, there's a ratio that you mix to make the concrete work, you know. But the one thing about it is if you get it wrong, it won't work. If you put too much concrete, it's not going to get harder. It's just going to mess up. But if you get to putting in some sand, and then you know, all you guys have done this before. We've all done it. You're getting low on sand, or you're getting low on gravel, and then you scoop a little too deep with the shovel, and you pull up some dirt. Huh? And you throw it in the mix, and then there's a big old clod of dirt and grass and everything in the middle of your concrete. Right? You know what happens? If you leave it like that, and you don't get it out, you just made that concrete or that mortar weak at that location because you put in a foreign ingredient into it that is not going to bind to the rest of the concrete. So if you're building your life with God and you start letting lies come in, what you've done is you have scooped in and thrown dirt into the mortar, or you've got the ratio wrong, or you're running out and you're scraping and you're throwing a little caliche in with all the rest of the stuff, you're not mixing a good mortar. And what's going to happen when the storms come of life? It's going to be untested. It's going to be untried. It's going to fall. You can't build your life on a lie. There's a lot of people who want to build their life on the lie that if you have enough money, everything will be okay. Oh, if you have enough money, money always seems to be an answer for most things, but money can't fix everything. I like to try it. I'd like to try to have so much that I could see if I could fix everything with it. I think it'd be fun. You know, I've told the devil many times, "Is man, you tempted me with everything else in the world. Why don't you just make me rich and let's see what'll happen?" But he's wise on that one. So. So he goes on, and let's just read here. Now I'm in 17. "Likewise, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own heart. Prophesy against them. And say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the woman who sewn magic charms on their sleeves and make veils for the heads of the people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people and keep yourselves alive? Will you profane me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live? By your lying to my people who listen to lies." Listening to lies is a dangerous thing. "Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm against your magic charms with which you hunt souls there like birds. I will tear them from your arms and let the souls go, and the souls you hunt like birds. I will also tear off the veils and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall no longer be as prey to your hand. You shall know that I am the Lord. Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. And you have strengthened the hands of the wicked, so that he does not turn from his wicked ways to save his life. Therefore you shall no longer envision futility nor practice divination, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord God." Okay, so in this word here, Ezekiel's talking about listening to lies. Listen to me. God doesn't want you listening to lies. And God says in there that he is so angry about it that he's wanting to do whatever to either get those people that have listened to the lies, their walls broke down, or the ones that have not listened to lies, to get them listening to truth. Y'all with me? Now, what's interesting is he uses the word in there, divination of lies. And that word divination there, it means to divine, all right? And it means, in the Hebrew, to determine or distribute by lot or magical scroll, or by implication, soothsaying. You see, in the Hebrew, it's very descriptive. And what he's actually saying is that listening to a lie is a form of demonic activity. It's just like a witch who whipped up a cauldron of magic spells and has cast them upon you, that the lie has the ability, like a magic spell, to come into you and get you off track. It's a dangerous thing. And the most dangerous thing that has happened to most of us is that we don't believe in ourselves or who we are, because this world has ripped it from us. Because you weren't the right height, you weren't the right weight, you weren't the perfect person. So therefore, the world comes in through everything that's in the world now, through television, through whatever, and said if you don't weigh a certain weight or you don't look a certain way, that you have no bearing on stuff. Why do you think that Hollywood thinks that they know anything? Because you made a movie, why does that give you the ability to have any knowledge about world affairs? But because, see, they look perfect, therefore they're somebody. But who set the standard of what perfect is? Are y'all hearing me here? It's really,
That's what the world says. Oh, look at them. They're famous and they're rich and they're floozy, so they must know something. No, they can be stupid idiots. I mean, just because you were born with a height and you know, or hair or no hair or whatever, you know, and got yourself and you worked out. I mean, doesn't take anybody, it's not too much rocket scientist to eat right and exercise to be thin. I mean, wow, that really took some real research. You don't have to go to college to know how to jog. Or even better than that, you don't have to go to college to get a degree and an entire personal trainer to teach you. But just because they look perfect, because the world says it, that's the lie that has been sown in the hearts of the people in the world, because they made a movie and they look perfect, they have knowledge. But how many of them, you know, are going through divorces and whatever else in the world? They ain't too smart. It just cracks me up. Just go make a movie and become a star, and then you're supposed to be all-knowing. Because that's the lie the devil has sown in the world today, that's how you have to look in order to be successful, to be smart. Hello? It's demonic. It's a divination. It's a soothsaying. It is a demonic spirit released upon the people to hear those lies. I'm not saying they're demon possessed. I'm just saying they've heard the devil. Let's look at a few scripture here. Why do I come up with that? Okay. Go to John chapter 8. Verse 42. John 8:42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God, nor have I come to myself, but he sent me. Now, why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my words. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and the father of it." Jesus said, listen, it's impossible for God to lie. Do you know that? It's impossible for God to lie. If God would lie, he would cease to exist, because God is truth. So it's impossible for God to lie. So the father of lying was the devil. Now, some of you guys are great scholars and theologians, and don't go too deep with all of that. I'm going to tell you here in just a minute. I just thought this was interesting. The devil is the father of lies. He didn't get it from God. He didn't go say, okay, that's how you lie. He didn't hear God telling a lie to Jesus. And so the devil said, that's how you do it. No. God didn't ever lie. The devil was the father of it. It says he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources. I went and looked at the word resource. It means from his own making. His own abilities. He didn't learn it from elsewhere in heaven. When the devil was a created being. When he was created in heaven, and I'll show you this in a minute, the Bible says that iniquity was found in him. I don't know how it got there. That's what I'm saying. Don't go too deep with all this, and don't go digging around. But, I mean, you can if you want to, but don't go nutso on it. Because I want to show you what that word iniquity means in just a minute. There was a problem there. And it came out of this created being. And he got cast out of heaven to earth. And he's the father of lying, so he works overtime just trying to sow lies. Because he knows if you ever believe the truth, that the truth then will set you free and God's promises will come alive in your life. And as long as he can keep you believing a lie, then he's got you right where he wants you, doing his will.
I'm preaching really good truth to you this morning. Are y'all with me?
Go to Genesis chapter 3. Let's look at the garden.
You may say, I already know that, but listen to me. You need to look at it because in this day and time, God's showing us more things and opening up our minds to things that we never really realized. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1.
Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now that's a lie. God did not say you can't eat of every tree of the garden. He says you can eat of all the stuff in the garden except don't eat of that one tree. Do you see how? Listen to me, church. You've got to understand this. The devil is smart enough. He's been around for eternity. He does not usually come to you and say, go rob the liquor store. He doesn't usually come to you and you're just impressed all day long that you should punch this person in the face.
Well, I mean, if they're, you know, that could be.
You see what I'm saying? It's usually not so blatant and open and drastic. He comes to you with half-truths. That's important to note. He comes to you with half-truths. So he says to you, I know what you did yesterday. Surely God didn't love you. You follow me? He doesn't come to you with a whole truth. He comes to you with half-truths. So he says to Eve, you're not going to eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, No. We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat, nor touch it, lest you die. She spoke the truth. So he comes back. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that the day you eat it, your eyes will be open. Look here. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That's a root problem in all humanity, that we want to be like God. He said, well, I don't want to be like God. Oh, give me a break. How many of y'all just really like losing? We're going to play a game and y'all like to lose. No, you want to win. My wife over there, sweet angelic being, she's one of the most sacrificial women in the world. She'd do anything, but just don't make it a challenge. You turn it into a challenge, she wants to win. It's in all of us. It's in all of us to want to be like God. Oh, you just want to control the situation. You just want it to work like you want it to work. You just want this to happen. Yeah, God, I don't want to call down fire from heaven upon people every day, but just once in a while would be nice. The desire in your life to make everything work out the way you want it to, in your eyes, whether you realize it or not, is the demonic lie that you want to be like God. Punch the person on the other side of you and say, I think he's talking to you. Now let's look at another scripture here. Let's go back to the book of Ezekiel chapter 28 and let's just look at the devil a little bit more. Let's investigate this iniquity that was found in him. In Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 11. Now, you have to understand something here, that when you're reading the Old Testament, and you have to know when you can and when you can't, there's something called the law of double reference. In other words, God could speak forth a prophecy or he could say something and it applies to the situation then and the situation to come. Or he's speaking to about a person
And he can be describing that person that was naturally alive then, or he can be describing the devil. And that's what's happening here in Ezekiel 28:11. It's the law of double reference working, because there really was a king of Tyre. There really was a man who was sitting up on the throne. There really was a man who said, I'm going to be as great as God. There really was a man who did this. But it shows forth the nature truly of the devil and how he operates in people when they're completely bought every lie he has to sell. Okay? So it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and beauty, and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. And goes through and lists all these stones, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald with gold. The workmanship of your trembles and your pipes was prepared for you in the day when you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within. You sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. I destroyed you, the very covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. Your corruption, you corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you out of to the ground. I laid you before the kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you. I turned you into ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the people were astonished at you, and you have become a horror and shall be no more. The word iniquity there is really interesting to me. Because there in verse 15, the word says, but iniquity was found in him. It's the word evil. We spell it E-V-I-L, but in the Hebrew it's spelled E-V-E-L. And it's pronounced evel. Okay? And what it means is injustice, unrighteousness, or wrong. See, we think of evil in the sense of, you know, it's really bad, it's wickedness, it's murder, it's, you know, something heinous, a heinous crime being evil. But God says evil is when you're believing a lie. Because what you're doing is you are his created beings. You are his breathed in temples of God. And when you believe a lie and you aren't operating in who God created you to be, you're listening to the lie of the devil, and you don't believe that you can do anything. You know, whatever the lie is that you're listening that's causing you to be depressed and causing you to be discouraged and causing you not to be able to function like you should be functioning in life, he says that's evil. He considers it, it's evil. You're not listening to me. You're not believing my truth. You're not letting truth come on the inside of you and set you free and walking like I'm going to take care of you. It's wrong. It's evil. Kind of changes things, doesn't it? Kind of changes things. When things that happen to us in life that come upon us that get us in bondage, and that we're thinking our whole life is about that incident, and that it has formed us, not God's truth formed us. God says that's evil. I mean, literally, if you say, well, you know, Grandma, she died young, and Mama died young, I guess I'm going to die young. You're believing a lie. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says a long life will satisfy you and show you his good salvation. You've had a lie sown into you. I had to wrestle with it this week. A friend of mine who's just a few years older than me had a stroke.
Man, it got all over me. I mean, the lies got turned up in my head. My father died of a stroke. Man, I had old memories come back to me, old things going on. Man, for about 2 days, I had to just fight it. It's like, that's a lie, man. I'm going to live long. And then he'd say, yeah, but, you know, you're overweight. I'd say, well, that don't have nothing to do with God's promise. Don't try to put that on me. Don't try to get me over here in death's door. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. I don't live by what science says. I live by what God says. You said if you're going to supply me a long life, I'm going to live a long life. I'm doing things to be healthy, and I'm taking care of myself, and I'm getting there, and I'm going to get there. But listen to me. You just shut up. I ain't listening to you. And then all of a sudden, here'd come back again. Then somebody'd call me up and say, hey, did you hear? Oh, my gosh. He's only a year older than I am. I thought, well, whatever. Then the next person called me up. Well, you know, this going on, that going on. And it's just like, I got to where I didn't want to answer the phone. You know? And it's like, I was like already going to, I might as well just go home, build my own casket. I mean, that's how I was feeling. That's how far the lie was trying to take me. Right? But I wasn't going to buy into it, but I had to fight it. I knew it was a lie. Those things happen to us all the time. And the minute you yield into it and you give into that lie, it takes root. It puts its tentacles down on the inside of you. You've been hooked. You've been snared. And then it's hard to rip that thing out. It takes the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit to come in your life and to break that from you. And how he does it is he gives you a truth from his word, makes it alive to you, and breaks it. None of us are all of us are susceptible. None of us have the antidote that it's not going to come up. You know, you can get good and you can catch it and you can be aware of it and you can stop it, but you're still going to get attacked as long as you're alive on this earth with lying thoughts. There's no place you could go. Listen, you know, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes if, you know, I don't mind being honest with y'all. If you think I'm crazy, well then, you know, I am. But you know, I got a happy place that I like to close my eyes sometimes and think about a happy place. Y'all have a happy place? Like things are bad and I like to think about a happy place, like this perfect little place I'd be. And I got to tell you, it's always somewhere far off and nobody around me. But I go to my little happy place sometimes and things get bad and I like to just think about myself in this little happy place. And, you know, I've got it decorated and everything. You know, of course, it's my happy place. It's not my wife's happy place, but it's my happy place. And what's funny about it is you could really literally physically go build your happy place and get it all done, and somebody's going to move in beside you. Are y'all with me? No matter how much you try to create your happy place in life, there's always some idiot that's going to show up. It just is. You just might as well accept it, you know? It's just going to happen. As long as you're on the face of this earth, there's always going to be that lie, that problem that comes to you. You got to learn how to deal with it. You got to learn how to take lies that come to you, stop them, kill them, destroy them from coming into your life and taking root, and live by the truth of God's word. That's the only happy place you can really be in. And you got to fight for it. You got to fight for it. Okay. I'm running out of time. Let me give you one more scripture here. Go to 1 Kings 22. Let me show you one more thing about this. And then I want to pray for you. In 1 Kings 22, verse 19. No, just don't even go there. Joe, put that picture of Gabby up. The first one, please, if you can do that. You're so talented. You're an unbelievable young man. Okay. Just put your Bibles up and listen to me for a second.
Here's a little girl raised on the street. She doesn't even know her name. This little girl lived on the street. She was abused daily. They ate food out of trash cans, out of any place they could get to get food. She was only alive and taken care of her little brother by what they literally could gather off the street. Now, they don't, in Guatemala, they don't dump out day-old bagels. Are you with me? They don't just have tortillas laying around all over the streets. What they ate and what they lived on to survive was like finding a little bit of Coke in the bottom of a bottle. Like eating food that was rotten that no one else could touch. That's how they survived. All right? Now, if there was ever going to be damage done to a person that would be irreversible, this little girl stood the biggest chance of that to happen. No identity. Right? Wasn't that her mother just told her she was ugly? She didn't have a mother. Men doing all kinds of things with her, just using her. Her self-worth could have been nothing. But Gabby chose to believe truth. I've never seen a young woman at the, or a young girl at the orphanage ever respond to the gospel like Gabby did. Okay? She locked in on the Word of God. This past year, we gave them all new Bibles because their Bibles were all tore up, and we gave them all new Bibles, and we put her name on the Bible and gave it, and she was so excited because she reads the Word and believes the Word. And she, her spirit was such that rather than being crushed and undevelopable, I don't know if that's the word, okay? Her spirit was such as that when we said to her, oh, we love you. You can live here all your life. We're going to take care of you. She's like, okay. She believed. Simple faith, she believed. Now, flip the other picture up. So what did it get for her? Give us the one in the pretty dress. I like that one. That. From where she was to where she is now, only because she believed the truth. Now, Gabby, what's funny about her is she's a little shy, and she's getting more outward. She has to kind of know you before she'll get, open herself up. She's a little standoffish with people, but then once she gets to know you, she gets a little bit more open and whatever. But this is so funny because Kendra, Ivan's second daughter, and Bethany, who y'all all know, were there to help her. So they, of course, just threw in everything, just, you know, like, we're going to have to do it. And she had, like, multiple dress changes and all kinds of stuff like this. I mean, they did it just, you know, amazing for her to make her feel so special and like a princess. But she only became what Ivan has always prophesied and told every one of the kids she could become. You can do anything. You can do anything. We are going to bless you. We are going to help you. You're going to do anything. God will see that you get. And she just believed it. So church, flip back to the first picture. If you're like that today, because you've had so many lies sown to you, you're like that little girl. I just want you to get excited this morning because you still have the potential to be the other girl. Flip it back to the other one. You still have the potential to end up there. You just have to believe the truth. You have to break the hold of the lie in your life, and you have to believe the truth. That's why we've been developing these teams called Freedom Prayer, and we're working so hard to get the people trained, and we're working with this church in San Antonio, and Lex and Jeannie are heading this thing up for us, and we've got people involved to do Freedom Prayer because we don't want you bound. We want you free. And if you've gotten so hooked in a lie that you're so believing it, but you're now hearing God's truth, but you have a hard time accepting it and believing it, well then, folks, you need Freedom Prayer. You need to be set free. The anointing and the Spirit of God can break that hold off of you. It can break those chains in your life. The Spirit of God can set you free. Everybody say, the Spirit of God can set me free. Say it again. Say, the Spirit of God can set me free. Listen, I can't. I would if I could. You know, if it was as if, if it was you stand in the back of the church and put an apple on your head and I'll shoot it off, I could say, hey, I can do it. Just let me practice a little bit. Make sure my gun's inside. I'll shoot that apple off your head. If that's what it takes to set you free, I can do it. Just stand still. Don't move. I always joke with my wife. This is horrible. It probably shouldn't be on tape. But I always joke with my wife because I tend to, my first shot whenever I shoot with my pistol, I tend to pull just a tad to the right. And so I always tell her, look, if the terrorist has you, you know, get your head out of the way, because I tend to pull that away, you know. So make sure you got your head off. And she said, well, is it your right or my right? I said, well, I don't know. Let me think. Which one is it, you know? I have to work about that first shot, but... But I can't do it. There's no magic. There's no pixie dust. There's no magic I can throw on you, except there is. I can tell you what the truth says, and you can believe it. And that's what God's about in this day and this time and season, is getting people free. And having the truth spoken to you, and you believing it, and those chains falling off you, so you can get out from underneath that oppressive weight of the lie. Because it's hard to believe a lie, because it just causes you all kinds of problems. Amen? Amen. Well, stand to your feet. We have the Freedom Prayer brochures in the back. If you pick one up, you can call, get in touch with Lex and set up all the things that need to be set up. But let me have my prayer team come down here this morning. I'm going to pray mass over the whole mass of you today. All those that are listening, all those that are watching, everybody that's here. Because I'm just believing that this is a day and time you can be free. Everybody say, I want to be free. So I'm going to pray for you right now. Maybe you know, as I've preached this message, what lie you've believed. Maybe your deception is in you this morning is that you haven't ever believed a lie. If you're sitting here this morning saying, well, I don't know what he's talking about. I ain't got no idea. I don't believe no lie. That's the lie. You're deceived. You've lied to yourself so much that you've determined that you are God and you are like him and you don't need any help. And if that's you, that's your lie. So I just want to pray for you. And I want to believe God that by the power of the Holy Spirit, he'll start working in you. Maybe somebody said something to you when you were young. Maybe you always thought your neck was too long, or your eyes weren't straight, or, you know, you were gotcha-eyed and something. I don't know. That made you feel inferior and you believed a lie. But whatever it is, God will break it right now. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray over every person in here. And I just declare and pray, Lord God, those listening, those watching, and these in here today, that Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would reveal the lies that have been sown in our hearts. You'd reveal the lies to us, and then you would come in by the power of your Spirit, Lord, and do a swift, quick work and break that lie in our life. That the truth would be revealed to us. That we would know the truth, and the truth then will set us free. That by the power of your Spirit and the anointing of God, those yokes would be broken, the weights would be taken off, the oppression would be lifted from the people, Lord God, and that we could walk in the blessings of God and in your promises daily. Lord, I speak it over the people this morning right now, and I loose that anointing over their lives. And I declare, Holy Spirit, that you do the work within them. And that no longer will the lie dominate their life, but the truth will set them free. The truth will set them free. I declare, Lord God, as we leave this building today, as we go out into the world, we're going to run across people I know that they need to be free. They've listened to a lie.
I pray that our ears are open and that we recognize the lies that come before us and that we can help others to recognize it too. That we can be people that will be quick to stop and say, no, that is not what the Word says. That's a lie. This is what the Word says. So Lord, as we leave this building today, just put your hand upon us. Let it be heavy upon us. I declare that we're going to walk as sons of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation and not be touched by it. So Lord, bless them. Put your hands on them and let us bless others, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. A church, we're here for you. If you need prayer, more prayer, we're here for you. God bless you. Don't listen to the lies.